The assigned lectionary epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from Romans, the 13th chapter. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, it's always good to take a break, but it's also good to get back into the swing of things. And that's what I appreciate about Rally Day, for it kind of serves as a family reunion for us as a community of faith. And it reminds us of our connection. And with all the suffering and anxiety that we have witnessed over the past 3 weeks alone, like the visual rise of white supremacy, the rescinding of DACA, Hurricane Harvey on the Gulf Coast there in Texas, wildfires in the West, a massive earthquake off of Mexico, and now Hurricane Irma making landfall in Florida this very morning. Well, we are all reminded of how interconnected we really are. And as people of compassion and empathy, we do indeed weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice and suffer with those who suffer. And as people of faith, what is our role then in all of this? As followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus, how are we called to respond? Well, following the lead from this morning's epistle reading from Romans 13, perhaps the best place to start is with the basics. It almost sounds trite, for it is certainly easier to say than it is to put into action, but it all starts with the debt that we owe to every living being. That is the debt to love one another. And the Apostle Paul reminds us how crucial it is to work to create and live into a genuine and authentic community. For instance, undergirding any number of reasons why we exist as a congregation lies a deep desire and a diligent striving to develop the kind of relationships between ourselves that are life-giving, and affirming, encouraging, supportive, and infused with dignity and honesty and integrity and respect. But how do we grow into these kind of relationships? Well, to start, we must be true to who we are as individuals. We must risk the sharing of ourselves, trusting each other enough to be vulnerable. And we must realize that as a community, we are at least on one level responsible and accountable to one another. And that takes a lot of effort and courage, and it certainly takes a lot of commitment. Any relationship does. But backing up to chapter 12 in Romans, we learn that this all begins by not being conformed to this world's values, but rather by being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we are aligned with God's values. And this is expanded in the passage that was very thoughtfully and inspiringly reflected upon last Sunday by Elders Burt Woodall and Bobby Hornback. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go to our church website where you can either read or listen to their reflections. And in what I call Paul's to-do list of how to live together in true and authentic community, the list can actually be used as a kind of measuring stick to see how well we are doing here at College Hill. The list includes such things as let love be genuine, as in sincere, honest, without pretense or play acting or ulterior motives or hypocrisy. This genuine love, Paul instructs, is lived out in community in the following ways. How are we doing on these? Love one another with mutual affection, which means truly caring for the well-being of each other. Outdo one another in showing honor. Extend hospitality to strangers by making room for them in our hearts and lives. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. In other words, true empathy for others. Live in harmony with each other. Be humble and associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, from that, we now jump to the second half of chapter 13, today's epistle reading. And Paul continues with his instruction on how we can build community. And he does this by returning to probably his favorite subject, love. Verse 8, Paul tells us, owe no one anything except to love one another. Or to paraphrase, if there is anything that we, followers of Jesus, owe to any other person, it must be the debt of love. Our love for one another is to be the definitive marker of our Christian community. And so crucial is this gift of love that Paul goes on to state, for one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. Perhaps you've never noticed this particular description of what it means to love another. Love, in the Greek agape, does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love automatically builds community. And notice Paul's understanding of love has very little to do with emotion or feelings toward each other. Rather, the love to which he refers has to do with our attitudes and our behaviors directed toward others. It's our ethics put into action. Our neighbors will know that we love them how? By how we treat them. Or as the old hymn states, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. And also note that a neighbor, in the biblical sense, is not somebody that we pick and choose, like a friend. If there is indeed a crisis in Christianity today, I would say it's because we have forgotten that we have a debt that is owed to everyone we encounter. And that debt is to love them. Not in a touchy-feely sort of way, but in a way that truly seeks their well-being. And it is marked by dignity and respect. Well, from Paul's perspective, it's also important to note that none of this is possible without first being transformed ourselves by recognizing that God already loves us. We say that all the time, but do we really understand and feel that love? There is nothing we can do to earn that love. We simply are loved by God. And I like the second part of today's reading in that Paul puts before us a sense of urgency in our mission as Christians to love others. In his typical fashion, Paul makes an urgent appeal that we lay aside the works of darkness. You may come up with your own list, but Paul, of course, provides his own and basically refers to those things that are destructive to ourselves and to others, and especially to our relationships. And he continues this rich metaphorical image with the movement from darkness to light by saying that we need to put on the armor of light. Now, while militaristic language, armor, is bothersome and problematic for most of us, it nonetheless reminds us that instead of fighting each other, we need to unite against a common enemy. And that enemy can indeed be described metaphorically as darkness. And it can be found in such things as the darkness of injustice, of violence, of ignorance and intolerance and exploitation, the darkness of addictions and a thirst for revenge, prejudice and fear and greed and so forth. So our calling as Christians is to fight against these destructive powers that enslave and divide people and bring harm to ourselves and to others. And let us not forget that even with the light of God's sacred presence burning brightly deep within each one of our lives, darkness is also present within. So yes, our journey each and every day out of darkness into light is personal as well as communal. So as we journey forth today, remember that you and I owe a debt of love to ourselves as well as to our neighbors. And perhaps this is the debt of love that is the true debt crisis in our day and time. Amen.